They perish in this, they perish in now, yet Jesus to save them has died. God paid them the debt that we owe them. Those souls who in darkness abide.
The mission trail is on the air. It is my happy privilege to introduce to you the Mission Trail with your speaker, Brother Willie C. Murphy of Guthrie, Oklahoma. Please pray that his ministry may be a blessing to all who hear him. And let us remember the words of the Master as recorded in John 4 and 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest.
They're perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. God paid him the debt that we owe them, those souls who in darkness abide.
And now, here is Brother Murphy.
Thank you, Brother Leslie. And greetings, friends, wherever you may be hearing the sound of my voice. We're grateful for another opportunity to bring you a message from the Word of God. We hope that all of you will stay tuned to the Mission Trail broadcast of Guthrie, Oklahoma. For the third time now, we're bringing you this scripture from 2 Corinthians 8:9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. We've been pointing out to you how Jesus came to the world, that we, through his poverty, might be made rich. But speaking of the riches of Christ, listen to this 33rd verse of the 11th chapter of Romans. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out! Some people consider riches to be that which is laid up in a bank somewhere. They consider riches to be something which you can count in dollars and cents. And of course, that is true in a material way. But let me assure you that there are some things worth more than money, and I found those riches in Christ. Now, you may ask, well, if you can't spend them, what are they good for? In the first place, friends, the riches of Christ will provide you with satisfaction of heart, mind, and soul. This is certainly something that money can't buy. Where could you go and lay your money on the counter and buy happiness? At what bargain store can you purchase peace? If the clerk was honest with you, I'm sure he would be bound to say, "Friends, we don't have anything like that for sale. We can't take your money and in return give you happiness." But let me again point out to you the price that Christ paid for us to enjoy these riches. This poem says, our debt to God. Jesus bought us, what a price. He gave his life a sacrifice. He died to save us from all sin. Do we not then belong to him? He died, he arose, he lives again. He reigns o'er the earth, all things therein. Into his hands God gave his all. How great thou art, and we how small. Dolly Williams. Secondly, then, we have the promise that God is our helper and will see us through life to the very end. Listen to the 5th and 6th verses of the 13th chapter of Hebrews. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now, you talk about insurance, but that promise is better than any insurance I know of. You may have the best of life insurance, but is it really a guarantee that you will not die? No, it certainly isn't. Because whether you are rich or poor, whether you have life insurance for $50,000 or none at all, you're going to go out to meet your Maker one of these times. Listen to these words beginning in the 17th verse of the 6th chapter of 1 Timothy. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Now, that's what I call true riches. The third thing we find in the riches of Christ, then, is this: the hope of eternal life through Christ our Lord. Do you remember when Christ told of the poor man Lazarus and the rich man? Do you remember how Lazarus was forsaken, full of sores, and begged for the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table? Now, in the meantime, I don't know what all the rich man was doing, but I would say that he had plenty to eat, because it says he fared sumptuously every day. And I would also say that he had plenty to wear, because he was clothed in purple and fine linen. But one day Lazarus died, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died and was buried, and it says that in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment. Now, friends, if you want to, you can listen to those people who preach to you that there's no hereafter. But I say you'd better give heed to your ways and lay up your riches in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Now, we realize that Job was a rich man. He had lots of possessions and livestock, which God allowed to be taken from him, and he became a poor man. Yet his trust was firmly fixed in God. I say that the spiritual lessons which Job learned was worth more than all the riches he could possibly ever accumulate. It should be remembered that the book of Job was written many hundreds of years before Christ. He didn't have all the promises that we have in God's Word. Perhaps he was not familiar with Isaiah 41:10, which says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Then think of other promises, such as, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God." Think what a blessing it would have been to Job if he could have known that. And then, this one I am sure he never heard of, which says, "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." When Job was sitting by the hearth and scraping himself with a potsherd, and this after his wife had suggested that he curse God and die, think what this old familiar hymn would have meant to him if he could have heard someone sing it. "Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly, while the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high. Hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storm of life is past. Safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last." Furthermore, I doubt if Job was acquainted with very many praying people who were remembering him to God in their prayer meetings. In fact, the friends who did visit him seemed to find fault and criticize. Then how much more should we in this enlightened age, where the Bible is to be had from coast to coast and friends and loved ones are often nearby in time of trouble, hold fast to the true riches of God's Word? Here's another advantage of the riches of Christ. It is found in the power of prayer, which unlocks heaven's door. And here is where we appreciate the children of God who join with us in praying for the needs of others. Even shut-ins can take part in these riches. Listen to this poem, "Secret Service." If the shut-ins all united in one voice of common prayer, what a ceaseless shower of blessing would be falling everywhere. Though so weak and oft times helpless, they can wield a mighty power, lifting up their soul's petition to the Savior hour by hour. They can importune the Father from the secret place, and then, in the quiet and the stillness, they can hear Him speak to them. Never soldier in fierce conflict could a higher honor bring than the shut-in who's performing secret service for the King. Select by Grace Jones. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, we're made to marvel at the unsearchable riches of Christ, and yet we're glad that Thou art ever mindful of Your trusting children. We pray that You will bless each one who hears the broadcast, and if they've not yet done so, may they learn to draw on Thy eternal riches, and to Thee we'll give the praise through Christ our Lord. Amen. We want to take just a few moments now to remind you that the Mission Trail broadcast is heard over this station each week. We do desire your prayers and cooperation as we endeavor to send out God's Word over the air and through the mail. If you'd like a printed copy of today's message free of charge without cost or obligation to you, be sure to let us know. Address your request to the Mission Trail, Guthrie, Oklahoma. If you have a need or a prayer request that you'd like for us to remember with you in prayer, be sure to let us know that too when you write. Now, listen to this song, Take the Name of Jesus With You. The singers are Lynn Carver, Arnett Carver, Troy Gentry, and Edgar Martins.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where you go. Precious name,
precious name,
oh, how sweet,
oh, how sweet
hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name,
precious name,
oh, how sweet,
how sweet
hope of earth and joy of heaven. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name,
precious name,
oh how sweet,
oh how sweet
hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name,
precious name,
oh how sweet,
how sweet
hope of earth and joy of heaven. Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at His feet. King of kings in heaven will crown Him when our journey is complete. Precious name,
precious name,
oh how sweet,
oh how sweet
hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name,
precious name,
oh how sweet,
how sweet
hope of earth and joy of heaven.
And now, until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying, may God's richest blessings be with each of you, and a very cheerful goodbye.